Paul said, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why did he say that? Why did he say that? It was a sense of his focus. He had a focus for his life which determined every single day. Do you have a focus for your life? Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know him photographically? There's great pictures of Jesus throughout the Gospels, of what he said and what he did, but most of the column inches are why he died and rose again. So we can know him photographically through reading the Gospels. I really encourage you to do that often. And we can know him interpretively through the letters, like the letter to the Corinthians. We can learn from the Apostle Paul, who encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road and then realized that he was the Lord of all. The one who died on the cross is the Lord of all. And that became his focus every single day. It wasn't as if he didn't teach about anything else but the cross, but that was his message, but that was also his lifestyle, a lifestyle of humble suffering for God's will to be done. But why did he say this? Why did he say, of all things, "I resolved to know nothing"? I made a decision to concentrate, to focus on this one thing. Do you know what the main thing is in life? And are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Or are you getting distracted? Do you know what is primary and what is secondary? Or are you making what is secondary primary? What he's saying is that this is where the power comes from. This is where the power to live comes from. He was concerned in verse 17 that the cross of Christ would be emptied of his power. In verse 18, that the cross is for those who are being saved the power of God. He said to Christian believers, Christ is the power of God. And then he said, I want my preaching not to be humanly powerful, but a demonstration of God's power to change lives. And what is the most powerful thing that can happen today? The most powerful thing that can happen today is that God would shine his light into your heart, that you would see clearly, that you would have a clear focus, that you would understand that what I'm talking about this morning, in my human weakness, is the most important thing you will ever hear. It has got eternal implications. It has got implications for whether you live a life of purpose. It's a life of, are you journeying on your own or are you journeying with God? Do you know God's close presence? Do you know what the cross is all about? Do you know him in your experience daily? Do you know him lifting you up when you're knocked down by life's troubles? This is a power that changes us from not seeing to being able to see. I pray this morning that God will do that for you. That will enable you to have the power to serve him and to love others, the power to witness for him. But if we have lost our focus, if we have made that which is secondary primary, we will empty this message this morning unless you make it your focus. If we get distracted by the busyness of our lives, one day we're going to meet Jesus face to face. I was too busy serving you to get to know you. Oh, would that not be what we say? Can we say this morning that we understand the cross. I'm particularly concerned for anyone here watching online or here this morning who wants to know what the cross is all about, but it's just a bit foggy. It's a bit hazy. It's a bit out of focus, and you just long for it to be clearer. Why did Jesus die? Why is this so important? And I'm particularly concerned that for you this morning, you would come away and say, I can see why it's so important. I can see why that is what I need to build my life on. I want to speak about the power of the cross, the folly of human wisdom, and how we can have this power in our lives. And the key verse here is verse 18. There's going to be different reactions, like every Sunday. There's different reactions. Not everyone comes away with the same experience. But whenever the cross is preached, there are two diametrically opposed responses. Some people say it is foolish. Some people say it is weak. And other people say it is the power of God to bring amazing love, joy, peace into my life. But there's going to be a parting of the ways this morning. And as you walk out that door, are you going to walk out that door saying, I want to build my life on Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection? Or are you going to leave thinking it's all foolish? And it's offensive, what I'm going to say, because God says that you are a sinner. Does that sound very old-fashioned this morning? That you are a sinner and that God is holy and that it is impossible for you to be in relationship with him. Impossible! How does that sound? It's impossible for someone who lives for themselves to be in relationship with a holy God who is perfect. It's impossible. But Jesus bridged the impossible gap. That's the good news. That's why the cross is powerful. He made the impossible possible for sinners like me, unlike you, to be reconciled to holy God. Why is this word sin so important? The little boy said it. The little boy in Kids Zone, he said, my favorite picture is the cross. Why is it your favorite picture? Because Jesus died on the cross and he makes me clean. Do you understand that the things that are in your head and in your heart make you unclean? Your jealousy, your gossiping thoughts, your greed, lust, slander, all these things that are in our hearts make us unclean and unfit to be in relationship with God, unable to be in relationship with God. It pollutes us, and there's a great partition, a great separation. Our sins separate us from a holy God, and there's a great penalty that the wages of sin, the consequence of our sin, is death. What does that mean? Cut off, eternally separate. When we die, we don't go to heaven, we go to hell. Because of our sins. But Christ died to pay the penalty in our place. For God so loved the world, he did not want anyone to perish. He does not want you to be blind. He does not want you to die in your sins. He wants you to live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his precious son, the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, became human. Why? To rescue human beings. And he gave himself on the cross. He loves you. He gave himself for you, that if you trust in what he has done, you will not perish. You will not be cut off. You will have a knowing, loving relationship with God. Do you think I'm old-fashioned this morning? Do you want something more exciting? Do you want something more relevant? There is nothing more relevant than this. This is your future. This is your present. This wipes out all the mistakes of the past. Could you come to God this morning and say, through faith, Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? I turn away from everything that I know to be wrong, and I trust in what you have done for me, and I receive as a gift your forgiveness, your reconciliation, your pardon, your peace, your joy, your love, and I will live the rest of my life for you. What a wonderful day that would be today. Sunday, the 30th of January, 2022. Why not today? Can you see it? Can you see your future with this focus, this clear focus on knowing Christ? Not just knowing about him, knowing him personally, knowing that he is your Savior. Do you know what his name is? His name is Jesus because he came to save us. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. But sometimes we want something a bit more interesting, a bit more exciting, a bit more relevant. But these other things don't have the power. They don't have the power to save you. They don't have the power to change you. They don't have the power to sustain you. There's lots of internet sermons you can hear from all around the world. Feel-good sermons which say nothing about sin, nothing about repentance, nothing about judgment, but to make you feel good. But there's no greater feeling than knowing Jesus. God in you. The creator of the world, the one who made you, is in you. He's alongside you on your toughest days. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. In fact, it might even get more difficult if you become a Christian today. It might get more difficult, but it will be more joyful. It will be more purposeful, and it will be worth it. Why? Because God's way is better than your way. You've been living your way for too long. You've been wanting your own way for too long. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, but God has sent his Son to die on the cross and laid on him the penalty for all of our sins. His ways are better than our ways. In Corinth, they had wisdom, philosophy, What do we have here? We have Calton Hill, which was built to inspire people to be heroes, to live a heroic life. But the person didn't finish it. It was modeled on the Greek Parthenon. And there are many worldviews and ideas out there today which promise a lot but deliver very little. They don't do what it says on the tin. They offer peace through Eastern religions. But it's not the peace that comes from the forgiveness of sins. It is not the peace that comes from knowing the only true God. Self-help books, positive thinking. When Donald Trump went to church in New York, his preacher, I think it was Norman Vincent Peale, his message was very interesting, very entertaining. The power of positive thinking from a church. And we know where that ended up with Donald. Say it often enough and it's true. But it's not true, is it? Change without repentance, peace without forgiveness. The world in its wisdom did not know him. Bankruptcy. Broken cisterns which carry no water. So how do we receive God's power? It's by choosing to believe something very foolish and very weak. It's by choosing to listen to God's word imperfectly preached, but pointing in the right direction, pointing to the source of all life, pointing to the meaning of life, to the source of hope, imperfectly preached, but pointing in the right direction. I don't know if I'm coming across this morning, but I do know that I am pointing in the right direction. I'm pointing at Jesus. And you are in no doubt what I'm asking of you this morning. Where is your focus? Is he number one? Do you go to him for power? Power to change, power to love, power to know him. Believe something foolish because God's foolishness is wiser than everything else. Believe something weak because God's weakness is stronger than anything else you've ever heard. Because whenever the gospel is preached, the extraordinary power to change your life is from God. It's not from the preacher. It's from God. And the great news this morning is that when you leave this room and you go home, God is with you. When you go to work tomorrow morning, God is with you. Because he is omnipresent and omnipotent, and he's with you every single minute of the day. And you can ask him for power and help. Yesterday in our men's breakfast meeting, Morrison Hamilton shared with us how he lived in a home where his mum and dad had not been to church for 6 years. Perhaps you're watching at home this morning and you're struggling with the fact that as a family, you're not coming to church anymore. Maybe it's not as exciting as you want it to be. Maybe it's not scratching where you're itching. But we're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep pointing to Jesus. And God has not forgotten you. And you can turn to him today, right where you are at home. Morrison was in his bedroom And he turned and he looked and he saw a King James Bible that he had not opened for 6 years. And he took it off the shelf at the age of 15, opened it. It said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." One of the wisdom books, God's wisdom from the Old Testament. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He went downstairs and said to his mum, "I want to go to church tomorrow." His mum nearly fell off the chair. And his dad, who'd never been to church, he came the week later. His mum and dad are still following Jesus today. Because Morrison heard God speak to him through the Word to choose God's wisdom, to trust in God and God's way and not in our own understanding. The only way to become a Christian, the only way to know God's power is to understand that God's way is greater than our way, that God's power can work through our weakness. And we don't need to be powerful. We don't need to be impressive. We don't need to know how to solve our problems. We just need to know the one who can. And we need to humble ourselves and have a right understanding of who we are in relation to God. For if we humble ourselves, something amazing happens. When we humble ourselves, something really powerful happens. When we humble ourselves, God gives us His grace. What does that mean? Grace is God's gift to the undeserving. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to perform, reach a certain level of understanding for God to come in. Even if you don't understand the cross this morning, if you ask God to forgive you on the basis of what you have heard and you just believe what you've heard, then you will become a Christian. He will come into your life. He will forgive your sins. And you will then have a power to understand more. So don't wait till you understand, because it's not down to you. It's receiving. So humble yourself. Say, "I don't understand." Humble yourself saying, "I don't have the courage." Humble yourself saying, "I don't have the confidence to keep this up." And God will hear your prayer and just say, "I don't trust in myself, but I trust in what you have done in your Son, Jesus, and his death on the cross." Have you got it? Am I making it clear this morning? Oh, how I've prayed that I would be clear this morning. Oh, how I've labored to be clear this morning. And last night I phoned a friend and said, "Would you pray with me? Because I really want someone this morning who doesn't understand to understand. I want someone who cannot see to be able to see. And I can't make them see. I can't make them understand. I have no power." And my friend prayed with me, and I got a peace that this word would go out this morning and would change lives. Not because I know that. I know nothing. Because I believe that God wants to save you, because I believe that God wants to change you, because I believe God wants to build your life and this church on this foundation. So are you relying on your own wisdom or God's wisdom? Are you relying on God's word? Your faith should not rest on anything other than what God has done. So God is here, and we can know him photographically We can know about him and the things he did. We can know him experientially. That means when we put our trust in what God says about Jesus, grace, then he comes. He comes and makes truth transformative in our experience. I don't want you just to know the truth in your head. I want you to know the truth in your experience. And we need to pray, because only God can do that. Only God can do that. So why don't we pray now and just let God be God? Just let God be God. The only thing that matters in this moment is honesty. No more pretending. Humility. Gratitude for what he's done for us all. And then a great big, please give me what I need today. What do you need from God today? Do you need to be saved? Let's pray. Lord, your ways, if you want to pray this after me or pray in your own words, that's fine. I'm a very slow speaker, so you've got plenty of time to fill in the gaps. Lord, your ways are better than my ways. And I no longer want my own way. I just want to know your way. And I'm sorry for the times when I have relied on my own understanding and not looked to you for wisdom and power. I thank you that you have done the most powerful thing in the universe in sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. Thank you that you did the impossible. You bridged the gap. And a sinner that I am, I come to you today asking to be cleansed. Make me clean, Lord. Sinner though I am, I come to you today asking to be forgiven. I come to you today asking you to make me new. Give me a new start. I turn away from all of my sins and I trust in your cross for forgiveness. And I thank you that you rose from the dead. And I ask that your power, the power of your Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, would now come into me, into us, into this church. I don't only pray for myself, I pray for the people around me. Because you need to fill me with a greater concern for others and a lesser concern for myself. So please save me today, Lord. And please empower me today. I thank you that you always answer this prayer. 100%. I receive your gift, undeserving though I am. So come, Holy Spirit, and fill us now. I'm just going to wait in silence. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.